This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
We're moving in a new direction, moving forward and moving beyond smoking. We are Altria, and our companies are leading the way in moving adult smokers away from cigarettes by taking action to transition millions toward potentially less harmful choices. As we move from being known as a tobacco company to being recognized as a tobacco harm reduction company, Altria is moving beyond smoking. Find out how at altria.com.
We're talking about you.
Oh my gosh.
All three of us have watched you.
Shook.
If you guys have not seen you on Netflix, this was something I didn't realize either. It was a Lifetime show.
Right? What?
Yeah, it was a Lifetime show that like didn't do well on Lifetime.
Oh,
that
shit.
Went on to Netflix and like blew the fuck up.
That's also what, a really amazing, I guess, book series from what I've heard called Hidden Bodies.
Right. Yeah. You was the first one. Hidden Bodies is the second one. So there is going to be a season two.
That's crazy.
Of you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that show is bananas.
That's a crazy in love.
Not going to lie.
For sure.
Like, I think the thing I took away about it is like, I need to take a look at my preferences because.
Oh, God. All of my shit is like out in the open. Like, all of it is.
Well, not just that. Yeah. I would be completely easy for like a Joe to find. But then I was like, why am I so attracted to
him? You don't mean online preferences. You mean like your
dating preferences.
Dating preferences where I'm just like, I kind of don't mind him at all. Even though he's fucking murderer.
You and Anthony.
The problem is they do make him super. The problem is that you're in his mind, right? So he's narrating the craziest,
right,
you know, stuff that's happening, and you're like, so you can make it makes it relatable,
right?
So you're looking at this guy who's in every case in no way good for anyone, but you're looking at it like, well, I can see where he's coming from. Peach is the worst.
Is she?
Well,
she's the fucking worst.
I think
the
show
does she deserve to die? What is wrong with me?
Oh, spoiler alert.
Sorry. sorry, guys.
Yeah, we might have to edit that out. But I think that the brilliant thing about the show is that he's the protagonist. It's very clear that he's the protagonist, and
right,
he's sympathetic in every way.
Right.
And when he's not doing all the crazy stuff he does in secret, which is the only, you know, no one else in the show knows he does that stuff.
Right.
So whenever he's interacting with other characters, he does seem like a really nice guy.
Right.
Which I think is brilliant because that's how people end up in relationships like that.
Yes.
Like, no one comes out the gate being like, I'm a scary stalker killer.
Yeah. Know? Serial killer.
Yeah.
Dude, I had the spiciest armpits ever when when Dude Face came and brought the book back and told Beck where the hiding place was, and she went to the bathroom, and I was like, I literally,
like, no, 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 no. Yes, yes.
Because I did. I was like, I realized in that moment, I'm like, I want him to get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want her to find out.
Yeah.
Like,
but you knew she had to.
Right now. It's that Dexter thing, right?
Yes.
Where you're just like, you're rooting for Dexter. I mean, at least he killed in a vigilante way where he was killing fucking terrible people, but he's still a killer.
Well, and also, can we just address that even if Joe never killed anyone, which, spoiler alert, he does.
Right.
Even if he had never killed anybody, the rest of his behavior is so fucked up, so massively toxic and fucked up. And Penn Badgley, who's the actor on in that, there were so many people on Twitter being like, I would let Joe kidnap me anytime. But his response to it was so great and like spot on. Mm-hmm. And he was totally like, no, that's the exact opposite reaction that you should be having to this character.
Right.
This character is highly like toxic. If your relationship looks like this, like,
get the fuck out.
It's a dangerous relationship, you know. So he had a really good response to it.
That
good
face.
Oh, so those cheekbones. I like a man with cheekbones that could cut
it's
butter.
Weird. It's hard for me because I don't necessarily think Penn Badgley is super cute.
Oh,
but
I think he's so hot.
He is.
Yeah.
He just, there's something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like there's something.
Yeah. I'm on that train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I'm the conductor of that train.
Choo, choo.
Exactly.
It's the you/the fall effect where you're
Yeah.
Because Jamie Dornan in the fall, yeah. I don't give a fuck about him in Fifty Shades, right. but in the fall, I'm like, ooh, you so hot. And yeah. like, he and is like, the he worst person.
Is the worst person.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, same. I was like, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
And so then when I heard that he was 50 Shades dude, I was like, yeah.
But then he shaved and you're like, meh.
And I was yeah. like, okay. When I saw him in the 50 Shades thing, I was like, meh.
Not as cute. You should need have a been beard.
Charlie Hunnam.
Hunnam.
Yeah.
Hunnam.
Or however yeah. you say yeah, his yeah. name.
He's my birthday twin.
Oh, really?
My God.
And did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Yes, I did.
I didn't.
Another group of men whose behavior is highly problematic. But
I never watched that show. And I heard it's fucking amazing.
I liked it a lot. But all of, I mean... It's definitely, we're in an age of anti-heroes.
Yes.
And it's definitely yes. that. It's like all of their behavior is fucked up. And yet you're still like, Charlie Hunnam so
which
hot
which is
though.
Why can we talk about how amazing that Gillette commercial
yes.
is.
So
in
good.
An age of anti-heroes and problematic behavior and toxic masculinity, we've got that fucking commercial yes. where I was like legit teared up.
Yes.
It was... I
was listen, really, really incredible.
Listen, like, really,
none of
really
us
cool.
are blind to the fact, like, we all know how capitalism works and how
sure.
corporations work.
Right.
Because like, this is the thing that gets thrown out is like, you know, they're doing this for money and like, they don't really, you
yeah,
know what?
No, they,
fine.
Every commercial's
we get
for
it.
Money.
That's what corporations do. That's right. how capitalism works. Like, we understand that. But it's still a positive message to be seen on this kind of like, grand scale.
And good. Here's my money. Good. Yeah. I would rather give it to somebody that's putting that message out into the world
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Versus other bullshit that is bombarded in our face
right.
every
at least
day.
It's not, yeah. you know, like Paris Hilton eating a Carl's Jr. Yeah. burger with like sauce all over her tits,
yes.
you know? Like,
yeah. yeah. No, it's
and
totally...
no shade on Paris, okay?
No, not at all.
No, she's Queen Bee. But you spit out. She is, dude. She is.
No, I know. I like. I have no problem with Paris Hilton, to be honest.
When you talk about branding and marketing and the Instagram culture that we have today, it all comes from like Paris was the first one to do
to really,
love it
to really
it.
Do it,
it.
Love it or hate it. Mm-hmm. She was smart enough to figure it out before anyone else. So I give her much props. People want to act like she's like a dumb blonde or something. I'm like, that bitch
yeah.
is
yeah,
smart.
Exactly.
Real smart.
Yeah.
And
I give her credit.
She counts on you underestimating her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. That's been her brand is you underestimating her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? She's owning that marketplace.
Yep.
Whatever works for you, works for you. Listen, I can't hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm constantly shifting money from my savings account into my checking account so I can, like, do stuff. So who am I to talk? Who am I to talk about anybody else?
Yeah, Paris, you got it.
No. I told you guys I just watched the Fyre Festival doc last night. Speaking of like Instagram culture. Or
yeah, I really want to see that.
Me too.
Influencers, which is must be like, I think one of my top five like least favorite words.
Influencer.
Sure, but also low key would be one in a heartbeat.
Sure.
In a fucking heartbeat.
I'd take the influencer money.
Yeah. If I'll be a social media, like, whatever, creator,
yeah.
content creator, fine. Like, fine. Yeah. If you want to watch me put my makeup on and drink coffee every day and you're going to pay me, like, tons of money to do it.
I'll take your money.
Fine. Absolutely fine.
We've already said I'm not above doing a lot of weird things for money. So.
Yeah. And watching me put my makeup on would be the best of those things.
Aren't
yeah.
you guys
going
like,
to do it anyway?
Yeah.
So mad that like that you didn't see that happening.
Oh, I'm furious because I was early teens when YouTube or like, you know, preteen when YouTube was becoming a thing.
Right.
And if I had started a YouTube channel when I was 13, millionaire.
Yeah.
Million, like automatic millionaire by now.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah, right.
Like, because that's how it worked back then. It's so much harder, like, break into that
right.
industry
yeah.
at this
you
point.
Had to have done it first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm the worst at, like, trends and stuff now. I have no idea what the next, like, curve is going to be.
Could it be podcasting?
Well, what else do we have to talk about?
Oh, Jeff Bezos is getting $1 billion.
Can you talk about how that chick is like, good. I don't have to live with that weird bald guy anymore, and I get $69 billion.
She's going to automatically become the richest woman in the world from this divorce.
But can we talk about how the fact that she had to be married to Jeff fucking Bezos, who is, I mean, in my eyes,
that's
like,
a choice. That's a choice. Ugh, there are grosser people to be married to, but
I'm like, not talking even about physical appearances. No, but when you like break down like what Amazon is and his goals for it, it's like it's icky.
But that's all those people. Like it's that's icky. All those people. Yeah, like, all of those people are like that. You know, mm-hmm. I just listened to the 3-parter on Mark Zuckerberg on Behind the Bastards.
Yes.
So it's like,
yes.
You know, all of these people are the grossest people you will. That's how you become successful in a big part.
We got to get grosser then.
If you're married to somebody like that, I kind of have to feel like you don't have to see them that often because they're always
gone. Yeah, they're always gone.
So like, yeah, I mean,
you're reaping the benefits.
Cash your check, girl.
Yeah. And apparently, it's not a contentious divorce. It's like,
no, it seems very amicable.
It's amicable. He's like, go ahead and take my money, which is usually people like that, even if they are billionaires, are still stingy.
California.
I think it's a pretty. You're still left with so many billions. Like, your great, great, great grandkids are still going to be spending that money.
On Mars. You know what I mean? They're going to be spending that money
on Mars.
On Mars. Yeah. Yeah. Because you know all these rich people have an exit plan. The planet is dying. They're gone. Yeah.
Oh my God. There's a post that I saw today on Who Do I Have to Kill to Get a Date, that Facebook group I was telling you about, where somebody posted like a fucking Bumble message that was like, I'm really looking for a group of women to spend my money and to like demean me and
Cassie's like side gig
of comments, and I just went go on. He's like, I want you to give me your bills. I want you to make me pay for expensive dinners and stuff. And I mean, everybody, we're like,
it's a financial, a financial sub.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, like that is like a thing that exists. Yeah.
I'm like, how are you still on Bumble? How have you not been snatched up by like 200 women who
that
are just
like.
That
makes me suspicious. Like, I'm suspect of that now. Because
I know.
I'm like, because
he also said like no sexual contact. I just really want somebody to be mean to me and to take money from
me.
I'm an Aries. I feel like I'm fully equipped for this job.
I was going to say, that's not in my nature, but for you, I'll get mean. I'll get mean real fast.
I mean,
that's
it sounds like a real piece of shit.
Exactly. There you go.
See? Already good at this.
I know. But yeah, I was just like, wow.
I'd even step on his balls if he wanted.
I know.
In high heels.
I'll do it.
He wants to be dominated. He wants to be.
Oh, I feel like I am cut for this position.
But yeah, I mean,
like, can you send me an application?
Once you get, I think, beyond a certain point,
I would fill it out so snarky.
You're never gonna go broke. Jeff Bezos could do whatever he wants, and it doesn't matter if everything fucking fails. He will never be broke.
I know,
again.
But people like that, like people who
Money makes money. His money makes more money than the GDP of like
of
small
course,
countries.
Yeah, but. I'm still surprised that it's not a contentious divorce, because people like that, even if they have all the money in the world, are still usually very like.
But doesn't he have a new girlfriend? I mean, like,
stingy. Well, it's the wife of his like friend.
Yeah.
Shit.
Scandalous.
Yes.
Scandal. Wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, good for her.
And maybe that's the reason why he doesn't want to make it contentious or whatever, where he's just like, it's just bad PR, just go away, like, you know what I mean, because not a lot of people are really talking about the fact that it is like his best friend's wife.
I mean, how much bad PR does that, I mean, bad PR, what's that gonna do to Jeff Bezos? Like nothing,
right?
Really,
like, people are not gonna stop using Amazon
because
they're upset that he's dating his friend's wife.
Yeah,
you know, like, no one's gonna care. Like, you can get a subscription to fucking anything. I was talking to my coworker the other day about how her nephew has a subscription to Quest bars on Amazon and just has them delivered monthly
on a regular.
Like,
I have a coffee one.
You can get a subscription to literally anything on Amazon. Yeah. It's never going away. And if it was gonna go away, if we were going to put it away for moral reasons, we would have done it already, because it's a terrible corporation that treats its employees very badly.
Right.
No. But none of us can cut that cord because it's too convenient.
Yep.
Yeah. It's too convenient.
Yep. Well, let's fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, yeah. But let's introduce ourselves first.
Yeah.
My worst date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
So, Tiger Beat.
Oh.
I don't know why this came into my head the other day. I think I was just ruminating on...
Well, Keegan's been sharing some old school pictures.
Oh, so maybe that's why.
Oh, yeah. My uncle sent me a photo album because I was just in New Mexico and he had like, he was going through, my grandpa just passed away and he was going through my grandpa's stuff and found like a photo album that's mostly like me and my brothers.
Aww,
and so he sent it to me in the mail.
And they are the cutest effing pictures you've ever seen.
You and your brother are fucking twinsies.
Oh, well, we're only 11 months apart.
You guys are so fucking
Irish twins.
Irish twins.
You guys look so much alike.
Yeah. I used to be able to trick people into believing we were twins because we
practically.
We're practically, you know, we looked a lot alike. But yeah, it does. Looking at pictures of myself at 12 years old, thinking about
Tiger
being 12 or whatever. Oh, I'm like, you know, and it's funny because we're all like of different ages or whatever who are like Tiger Beat guys were. So
yeah,
I mean, like mine was Devon Sawa. I fell in love with him after watching the movie. What is it called, like Now and Then or something?
That was a good movie.
I think it was Now and Then. Yeah.
With Christina Ricci or whatever.
Yeah.
Gosh, and he paired up with Christina Ricci a couple times because he was with her and Casper too.
Oh, that's right.
When Casper became a person.
Yeah.
That's how I knew Devon Sawa. When Casper became a human, it was Devon Sawa.
I was in love with that guy. And I like that name, Devon.
And Sawa.
That was going to be my name if I was a boy.
Really?
Devon, yeah.
Mine would have been Preston.
Oh.
I was like, Christina, you?
No, I'm like, I actually don't know what my boy name would have
been.
Really? I guess probably Patrick. Because that is your brother's name.
Well, it might have been. Yeah.
But yeah, Devon Sawa. Okay. Mine would have definitely have been Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like 110%.
He
was so cute. And he was in
Home Improvement.
Everything. He was in Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was the cutest. He's Baby Simba's voice.
Wasn't
he? That's
He was in that movie Three Ninjas or whatever. Do you remember that movie?
I do remember it. I don't remember if
it. Yeah,
he was in. Was he in? No, that was a different guy. In Jungle to Jungle. But I can't remember. Oh, he was in a Christmas one when he got a little bit older too. But yeah, I freaking loved JTT. So that would be my pick.
Okay.
My pick would have been Edward Furlong because when Terminator T2. Came out, T2 came out.
He was cute.
He was so cute. I had the biggest crush on that skater boy look.
Skater boy. I was just going to say
he had that long.
He was edgier. He was the edgier one.
Yeah.
So,
like wearing flannels.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't do quite the same. He still had the 90s like flopsy hair going on.
Yeah.
But Devon Sawa and JTT did like a middle.
Straight edge.
They did a middle part.
Yes.
Edward Furlong did a side part.
Yeah.
That's how you knew he was edgier. That's how you knew he like rode on the backs of motorcycles.
Yeah.
That's how you knew.
I like my Tiger Beats to have a little edge to it.
A little
Okay, so we're gonna 12-year-old us, fuck, marry, kill.
I got mine.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Devon Sawa, and Edward Furlong.
Okay, but let's do it this way. So let's do who to make it not weird. Let's do
who 12-year-old me would pick.
Us in 1990 whatever,
right,
with these guys. So us at that age, them at that age, and then let's do us now, them now.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone look up photos too.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm like, I don't know what Justin Taylor Thomas looks like now. I know Edward
Jonathan.
Furlong did not.
Excuse me, Jonathan.
What'd I say?
Justin.
Ooh. Oh, did I?
It's like,
sorry. I'm gonna need you to get that right.
There's my phone. Okay.
Let's see. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Oh, he's cute now.
He's cute.
Ooh.
Let me see.
I like it. He's cute.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Dude, yeah. I know.
I'm down for that.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. I have recently Googled Jonathan Taylor Thomas now.
Well, no, you have not. You were like, I'm bored and it's Thursday. Let's see what JTT looks like now.
I know what 12-year-old me would say.
Okay, let's go with 12-year-old you.
Okay.
First.
So I would, of course, marry Edward Furlong. Mm-hmm. And we would live in a mansion, drive a Maserati, and my mash.
Not a motorcycle?
No, my mash.
Okay.
I'm doing my mash thing. But then I would, I guess, fuck Jonathan Taylor Thomas and
Kill Devin Sawa.
I just
let's be honest, 13-year-old us, it's like snuggle Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Go to second base with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Something went wrong with me in between 12-year-old me and now me, because Devin Sawa is about as clean motherfucking cut as you get.
Yeah.
And if I met that guy, it's a no-go for me. We've talked about it.
He's hot, though.
Well, he's hot now, but I'm still just like that whole like clean cut, like
good kid
kind of thing. It's amazing to me to look back and think, oh, that's who I was at 12. Like I was looking for the stand up, good kid, straight A, nice guy.
I mean, now I'm just like, now too, because I was more into the bad boys back then. But then when I was like ready to get married, I was like, I am not looking for a bad boy. I'm looking for the best guy. I just want the good guy, the guy who's not going to be a fucking dick.
Exactly. And now I'm like, bring on the unavailable fucking
Christina. No,
I know. I know.
Slap your hand.
I'm like spraying you with a water bottle. No,
no.
I need to get back to 12-year-old me.
Sprayed with water.
What happened? I had standards at 12. Yeah. What happened to Christina?
You're going through. It's you're in a place where you're not looking for the one. You're looking for the tonight or the good day or the good dates. You're not in a. That there's a difference. Yeah. And not that you were 12 looking for the one, but
no. I don't know. I think 12-year-old me, what I think Disney tricked me forever into thinking I'm constantly looking for the one. Like that was
soulmate.
Yeah.
Well, I think, okay.
12-year-old you.
12-year-old me, I think, would have, I'm pretty sure I probably would have married Devin Sawa, fucked JTT and killed Edward Furlong.
Okay.
At that age, right, like guys like Edward Furlong were like freaking
out. You were
out.
Like, no, no, like, no, 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 no. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of my mom's very favorite movies of all time is Terminator 2. So I watched
it one.
A lot.
Yeah, same.
I probably would have married Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone to second base.
Yes!
With Edward Furlong.
I would let him put his hand up my shirt.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, with Edward Furlong.
Because
that's what you let a guy like that do. Yes! And then I would have killed Devin Sawa, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know current me, though.
Current me.
Is changed.
Current me
tune.
Has totally changed. Also, especially guys.
Also, they've changed.
Yes, they've changed. Yeah. So, guys, look up pictures of these three dudes. Yes. We'll post them as well on our Instagram.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you're listening and you're like, wanting a frame of reference, do that.
Yeah.
It will be helpful.
It will be illuminating. Sure.
And my new illumination, I am going to marry just Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
He also went to Harvard.
He's fucking
so
cute.
So down the clown.
Cute and super nerdy.
He's super nerdy.
Yes.
He's super,
love it.
Yeah, he's super smart.
Love it.
He left acting to go to Harvard.
And I'm in love with this.
Get an education.
This is all the yeses for me.
Yep. Yes.
All the yeses.
We're all on the
we're
same
all
page
gonna
with Jonathan
marry
Taylor Thomas.
JTT.
And I think we're going to all
can we get
to
an
fuck
adult tiger beat?
Yes. Okay, we'll Photoshop one.
I think we're probably all agreeing on fucking Devin Sawa too.
Oh God,
because
he's hot now.
I would fuck that.
He's hot
in a heartbeat.
Let's be honest, Edward Furlong took a nosedive.
Something happened to him along the way.
That bad boy behavior became too legit.
And let that be a lesson, Christina.
Yes.
There you
let
go.
Let that be a lesson as to that's what motherfucking happened.
Yeah. See, it doesn't hold
you
up.
See, it doesn't
hold
up.
If you had married
up.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas at 13, your future would have been bright.
Exactly.
So bright.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I love that we're all on the same page.
So fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. Edward Furlong did not hold up.
He aged very poorly.
It's just like Macaulay.
That's his decision.
Well, I think he went through, I think he did go through a drug phase where he got real skinny.
Yeah.
And then he went through another phase where he went the other direction.
Yeah.
But
now he kind of looks, the commercial, we talked about that, I think.
Now he just looks real rough. Like, it just
looks, no, he did that commercial on Christmas.
Did he do a commercial?
And he looked great.
Oh,
Macaulay.
I'm talking about Edward Furlong.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Macaulay Culkin. He looks fine
Macaulay's
now. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't
he
say
looks
he's
healthy,
he
at
looks
least.
Healthy.
Which is,
exactly.
Which is an, as much good. As we can say at this point.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks good.
Macaulay has bounced back.
You see, you wear your life on your face.
Dude,
so Edward Furlong. Drugs that you might be having fun on Friday night, just think, You're gonna wear that in 10 years.
Have you guys Absolutely. Heard?
It's not a good look on anybody.
Have you guys heard the Edward Furlong lobster story?
Oh, no.
Yes, I did. Edward Furlong went through like a real serious PETA phase where he was like a hardcore PETA advocate.
Yeah.
Okey-dokey.
And he got arrested. And his mugshot, you can find his mugshot online as well. His mugshot's not good. He went into like a high class like restaurant, like one of the ones that keeps lobsters in tanks where you can like pick your lobster.
So which is a weird, by the way.
Kind of sadistic. I'm so glad. I don't think people do that. I don't think it's very places weird. Do that
I don't want to see my food when it's alive. No. It's weird.
It's weird.
But he did go into one of those restaurants and I don't know if he tipped the tank over or he like was pulling the lobsters out and like setting them free and being like, well, you know, freedom, like Braveheart moment or something.
With lobsters.
Because he was just like, you know, you can't keep these lobsters in cages. So he like set these lobsters free and then he got arrested.
Oh my God. Yeah. Amazing.
Yes. There may have been a very Mickey Rourke turn happened. Oh yeah. God. Mickey Rourke was cute
so
in the 80s.
Handsome in the 80s. And then it's like,
something happened. Did you see there was a picture of Mickey Rourke now and Axl Rose now like sitting together at a thing and they were like, why does this look like middle-aged women at brunch or something?
Oh, yes. God. Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. It's no bad. Good. It's Neither bad. Of those guys held up. I was kind of into when I was like in my 12, 13 kind of age group, tween group. I was really into heavy metal guys too. Yeah. Like I was big into like Sebastian Bach, like Guideliner and all that shit. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, you could have been on Rock of Love. Was that? No, that was Brett Michaels. Sorry.
Yeah. No, one of the girls, I actually know one of the girls that was on Rock of Love and they're friends still. And she used to come into the salon all the time, get her hair cut. She was actually a sister of a guy I went to school with. But yeah, anyway, weird brag. Sorry.
You're like, that was weird. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you know. I know somebody who was on Rock of Love.
I have a
weird flex, but okay.
I have a 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon moment with Rock of Love.
Oh my God. Oh, I miss those shows. I miss those shows on VH1.
Oh, man, I used to watch them.
The fucking, like, Flavor of Love.
There were, like, three seasons of Flavor of Love.
I know.
And you knew, like, you were just like, never has it been more clear that these women are on this show for, like, fame and money.
Because it's like
Flavor Flav is the ugliest man on earth. He's like, if that's your thing, sorry, gross. Not to body shame.
I mean,
whatever.
He's not the ugliest man on earth.
Sure. Okay. Fair.
I mean,
that is fair.
I'm gonna keep my hot take inside, but
I'll take that back.
but not great.
Not a good looking man.
Not great.
And like the whole time, he's like, I have 15 children with 9 different women.
You're
and
like,
we're
nah,
like, great.
I'm good.
And women are like, ooh, I can't wait to marry you.
Oh my God. No thanks.
No thanks. No, I'm good.
But without that, we would have never gotten New York, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Oh, man.
My God.
That woman,
I hated her at the time.
Adult me is like, your hustle was on point, though.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, this bitch knew what she was doing.
Take it. Take your money.
Dude.
Take your money and run.
Yes.
Take it.
We can see, like, the trajectory of all that stuff. Because
she knew what she was doing.
That is all it is now, is, like, hustle, hustle, hustle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how you hustle. Yeah.
She made an entire career out of before anyone did that. It's like she did that. She went on reality TV.
Yeah.
And she made an entire career out of being a villain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Genius.
Yeah. So did
Omarosa.
Survivor. The
Oh yeah, that's right. The guy, the Richard.
The one who won the first time.
Yes.
He's naked all the time.
Yep.
And Puck from
Real World.
Which Real World launched some pretty like interesting rules. People too.
Yeah.
What was her name? Trishelle or Trish?
Oh, that's right.
Trish something.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Another odd brag. My neighbor was on
Real World.
Paris.
No. Yeah. Oh, she had to go to Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That is
Which was,
crazy.
Honestly, if I that was like one of the most boring seasons ever.
Nothing happened. No one wanted to fuck anybody.
I feel like it was like super fucking boring season. She even admits it too. So I'm not like saying anything she doesn't know. Isn't that funny?
We just did an AMA Ask Me Anything episode for my other podcast, which is a feminism podcast. And one of the questions was like, I listened to this other podcast called Guilty Feminist, where they at the beginning of the episode, they talk about something that they feel guilty about.
Yeah.
And mine was reality TV. Because I'm is
I know.
Legit trash.
Like, I know, but I love it.
Absolutely trash.
But what's your favorite reality right now? Because I love Million Dollar Listings, LA. And I love any Real Housewives. Well, not any. I love specifically Beverly Hills, Orange County.
I have been hate watching The Bachelor, but it's so boring. It's boring.
How many times have they said the word virgin? Because I heard you could make a drinking game out of that.
My God, we would be on the floor.
Yeah.
Are they all virgin?
No, The Bachelor is a virgin.
Oh, God. Yes.
And he's the bring most it up every boring. 3 seconds.
Oh, he's the most boring God. Bachelor I've ever seen. And he cries all the time.
Oh, my God. Who wants to break a guy in? Ever.
Never. Like, no. Thank you. I'm
never.
Good.
Never, ever, ever, ever. No. I would not.
My coworker does. She's team Colton. She's team that guy. I'm not a fan.
Well, after last series with freaking Ari or whatever.
Oh, so boring. What? Milk toast. Him and Colton. Milk toast. Yeah. Boring. I'm bored.
I'm bored talking about it.
Watching Return to Amish.
Amish?
Oh, no.
I've not heard of this.
Oh, my God, it's a TLC show. It's not great either, except for that it's entertaining It's just entertaining to see, like, what these people's personalities are like, because they were raised Amish, and, like, so many of them, most of them on the show have, like, left.
Yeah, they were like, I'm rum springing right out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to rum spring on my waist.
I am.
Deuces.
I think living in Ohio, my access to actual Amish people is enough to not have to ever watch that. I'm going to share a shame receipt with you guys, but I had a multi-way with a girl who was Amish.
How was it?
Well, she was not, obviously, still
no,
Amish,
but was it okay or was it still
It was very interesting, and 20-something-year-old me had a really great time at this little soiree, but yeah.
Now, let me be clear. Do you want to keep that in? Because a three-way with an Amish chick is pretty fucking funny.
Oh.
She said multi-way. She did say multi-way.
I did.
That's fucking awesome. I want to hear more about this off the podcast. But
do you want to cut that?
It's pretty fucking funny.
It's up to you.
I mean, my mom and dad don't listen. I don't give a fuck.
That's my girl.
Dude, I cannot wait to deep dive that.
Did you guys ever hear that your best nude lipstick color is the color of your areolas?
Okay.
No.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, everyone's looking.
We're all like, I could see that.
I think that would be a good lipstick color for me.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's a good lipstick shade. Yeah.
It's a little pinker than I would initially like, but, you know.
Yeah, mine's that would be a good lipstick color.
A good brown, a good, like, nude.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well.
We're all over here like, this is the funniest fucking thing ever.
Okay, well, we should definitely take 5 and look at our boobs off air, and then we'll be right back with stories.
Gonna get on Sephora. And we're back.
We are.
Hello.
So I'm first tonight, today, because I am doing the Crazy in Love. So we got this message via our Facebook, which, by the way, guys, if you ever want to reach out to us with stories, we get stories submitted to us through email, through DMs on I almost said MySpace on Instagram.
Oh my God.
We do not have a MySpace page, but I kind of feel like we should.
Not totally opposed to it.
Not opposed to getting a MySpace page.
I tried to get my MySpace page back. Like, I actually emailed MySpace support like 2 years ago. And they were like, no, they're like, nah, you like hard deleted that shit.
Oh,
They were like, you wanted it gone. And now me, I'm like, oh, but so funny. At the time, I was like horrified.
Dude, I kind of want to check mine out. I know that I don't think I hard deleted anything.
Oh, I That'd did, be and I should not have. But
crazy. Anyway, so yes, you cannot send us stories through MySpace. So you can through Facebook and Instagram and, of course, through our email. And also, too, because we have now our myworststatepodcast.com, you can also go through our
contact page
contact page.
We have gotten submissions through our contact page. So, yeah, go to myworststatepodcast.com because that's where we're going to be updating information about shows. You can, when we get merch, everything's going to be linked through there. You can also submit stories through there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everything's connected. We're all connected now.
Yeah.
So this came to us through our Facebook page. This says, hey girls, I just introduced your podcast to my niece as we were driving for 8.5 hours during a recent road trip.
Aww. Well, worried about thank your niece you. A little I
know.
Bit,
well, it depends on the age, you know.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. Right? I'm like, hoping this is an adult.
Yeah.
She said, she thought it was hysterical. Now you have a new listener. Yay! Thank you. That's all that we can ever ask for is help, you know, that
yeah,
you guys
word
share.
Of mouth.
We so appreciate that. She said, I remembered a short date story that I thought I'd share. I went on a first date with a guy and we went to World of Beer. Have you guys ever been to a World of Beer?
No. I've never even heard of it.
World of Beer is like a place that you go and they have like beers from like all over the world, right? So okay. Like Belgium or whatever, like you can find beer. And they have like, I think like passports and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Do you get like your ticket
but
punched
it's all
or
very
something like that?
Beer. I don't really know.
Man, I can only consume so much beer. I went to the Burbank Beer Festival a couple of years ago, and I was just like, listen, I got hammered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, hammered, because that's what happens. But also, I felt so, like, full and
yeah.
Bloated.
Right. Bloated.
Yeah, yeah, I don't drink beer that much anymore because, like, it gets me sleepy drunk.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I just want to nap yeah. now.
It's I kind of prefer different... myself wine drunk. It's my favorite. I'm so fun on wine.
Wine drunk, yeah, I'm a woo girl on
yes.
wine.
Totally.
Woo!
Wine drunk yes. makes me, like... so pretentious.
I get really
like, let me tell you how this is
no.
gonna go.
Where ooh, you like, mansplain
snooty.
I have a question
fucking
for you.
Attitude.
Do you feel like white wine and red wine give you a different attitude? Because I can get more pretentious on red wine.
Oh,
I feel
ooh.
Like it's something like I'm studious when you have like red
absolutely.
Wine.
That's exactly
yes.
how I feel.
White wine is white a little wine, freer.
White wine is a little less snooty for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Or sparkling. Sparkling is a woo girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sparkling
for sure.
is full
or rose.
On. Sparkling is hanging out of the limo. Fucking
yes.
like woo. That's what yeah. champagne does
yeah.
to me.
Totally. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, beer.
Right. So anyway, sorry. World of Beer. He literally spent the whole time on his phone using the World of Beer app. Other than, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. The only conversation being had was him talking about what beer he was going to try next and what rewards he would get. See, now that's levels. Like, I didn't even realize that it was like to that level. But
yeah,
also,
but
hi, you're on a date.
Like, you're on a date. Exactly.
You could have gone by yourself with your bros
and
to do this.
I'm assuming it was his idea to go to World of
Beers. It seems likely
so
at
it's
this
like,
point.
There's also something to be said about like taking your date, not taking their interests into account at all and just taking them somewhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then ignoring them.
Yeah, it's
right.
kind of shitty.
She says, I kept trying to gain his attention, but he would just kind of nod. I eventually got mad and grabbed the phone out of his hand and put it face down on the table, gently, by the way, and said, hello, on a date here. He gave me huff and said something like, are you serious right now? I'm looking at beers from Amsterdam.
I'm sorry.
Was it Amsterdam? I'm sorry.
I didn't realize it was Amsterdam
beer.
My bad.
Okay. Well, then I will sit here submissive and silent until you deign to throw me
yeah.
some attention.
Yeah, throw me a bone.
Fucking asshole.
Get the fuck out of here. He immediately picked up his phone and went back to it. I just got up and left. No clue on how long it took him to notice I was gone.
Wow.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Amazing. Yeah, I've actually been lucky. I haven't been on that date where someone like gets on their phone during the date. I would consider that extremely rude.
It's so rude.
It's so rude.
And like you said, he probably picked the spot.
Yeah.
He's like all about this place and his Amsterdam beer. Like, ugh.
Well, and I don't notialize when I'm out with friends or whatever, you know, like that's just it's rude to me.
It's
very rude.
Yeah.
And especially when you don't know somebody. So
yeah.
like you're already in a weird situation and then someone's just going to put the phone up like in front of their face.
Well,
that's
and the
so...
whole point of a date is to get to know someone. So
right.
what the fuck
yeah,
is the point?
Why even invite them out? It's
yeah.
strange.
You could have like gone by yourself or with your bros if that's really, but even still like,
because
would
that,
your
why,
friends be cool with that too?
Why
like,
put yourself
shit?
Out there though? Like that's the weird thing to me. And maybe it was anxiety. Maybe he put himself out there and then he was like, feel weird about this. So I'm just going to like bury my face in my phone. Mm. But it's weird to me that you would put yourself out there in a way to invite someone on a date and then not even get the payoff from that because
right.
you're
right.
like, you're buried in your phone. I don't know. It's a strange,
yeah.
it's a strange reaction. And also like if someone walked out on me on a date and they'd already made their like
point clear.
Their point clear
yeah.
by like grabbing your phone, putting it down. So you know why they walked out on you.
Yeah.
You should fucking call and apologize. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? But he just—he kind of seems like a
self-centered.
So,
yeah, he's self-centered.
Yeah. Having the self-realization to be like, oh, I did fuck up, and like I should apologize is something that like an emotionally mature individual.
Right. This sounds like someone who would have turned it back around on her and been like, "What a bitch!" Am I right?
Right. Yeah, for, like, no, he probably is writing us a story like this lady took her phone out. Right?
She walked out.
Well, speaking of guys that have stories about girls, ooh, that's my next one.
Oh, good.
Mine is too.
I found this dude on Reddit. And he says, it started off pretty normal. We matched on Tinder and were talking for about a week. It was pretty dry conversation, but I understand some people just struggle having a conversation over text, but do just fine in person, so I didn't think too much about it. She asked if I wanted to go on a date the next week, and I say, sure. That's when the red flag started to show.
Oh, no.
She started telling me how she's really nervous because she never gets second dates.
Ooh, that's a red flag.
That is a red flag.
Yeah. So my first thought is, like, is this something like with her confidence or like why is she telling me this? At this point, she's borderline guilt tripping me into a second date before even going on the first one.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah.
He's a no.
That's weird.
That it's is weird.
That's desperation that's a, too. It's yeah. Like you can like smell the desperation that, yeah. On that.
Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's the day we agreed to meet up and I rode my motorcycle into town, found parking and ran to our agreed upon meetup spot.
Motorcycle brag.
I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're flex, but okay. I was running behind, so I just grabbed the first parking spot and ran the rest, which ended up being further than I thought.
Oh, shit.
So the plan for the date.
So I showed up wet.
I know. I'm like, and you met me. So the plan for the date was that we were going to walk around downtown, then go to dinner at a fancy restaurant, mostly picked there because I was itching for their food. When I get to the meetup spot, she was waiting for me and looked seriously underdressed for the occasion. She was wearing a hoodie.
Ooh.
I understand that might sound shallow, but I put a decent amount of effort to look my best.
Yeah.
And no, I thought she would make an effort.
Because it's usually the other way around.
It's usually the other way around. Yeah. I was like, it happens to boys, too.
Yeah, you remember the episode we did with Jamie when that guy showed up at the nude beach in, like, fucking flip-flops and, like...
Yeah.
Like a tank top or whatever. Ugh. And I'm like, no, guys, like, no, put the bare minimum of effort.
And this guy did. He's like, I'm going to flex. I'm going to ride my motorcycle.
Take my motorcycle.
Yeah. I'm wearing dope new outfit. And she fucking showed up in a hood. And he's like, I'm going to take us to a fancy restaurant.
Yeah. How do you know? You know you're going to a fancy restaurant.
Also, like, I don't feel my most confident or sexy. I feel comfortable and I love hoodies.
I love a hoodie.
I love them.
I'm not knocking them. I would never wear one on a date.
Never wear one on a first date. Like,
especially if you spent like all this time texting beforehand. Like, no one ever goes on a second date with me. And it's like, well, maybe because you wear hoodies.
Yeah, you're trying to put your best foot forward. And a hoodie is no one's best foot.
No, no.
It's no one's best
foot. The opposite of your best foot forward.
Yeah.
Here's...
Oh, God.
Here's where I started just laughing. Because it's so fucking random. So we're walking to the restaurant and she tells me about her theory that there is a professional dancer from Dancing with the Stars in town.
Oh, no.
As well as how her friend really wanted her to find that dancer and get a picture with him.
Okay.
Okay.
Honey, just own up to that shit at that point. And again, if you're going to meet a crush, put something else on.
Oh, not a hoodie. She had mentioned that she really liked the show, so I had a sneaking suspicion that her friend wasn't actually the one asking for the pic.
Right.
I asked her if she has any idea where he could be. She doesn't have an idea, but wants to look anyways.
The what?
Fuck? So now he's on a date with someone in a hoodie looking for somebody from Dancing with the
Stars.
You're on
a, like, Dancing with the Stars scavenger hunt right now. Like, God. No, thank you. And I'm saying this as somebody who watches the show. I went to Dancing with the Stars live.
Oh, like, that's right.
I've seen them. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to a taping. Fucking, like, I like that show. I'm familiar with the dancers, and trust me, if I saw them in person, I would be like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Hopefully I'm not in a hoodie.
Hopefully I'm not in a hoodie. But if you're asking me to drive you all around town, fucking just looking
for them. We just met, and we're on a first date.
Scavenger hunt.
To find another dude. To find another dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I jokingly ask, if I were a pro dancer on the show, where would I rank in her favorites list? She puts me dead last.
And ooh, not with a flirty, sarcastic connotation either.
Oh, no. What a bitch.
Oh, my God.
Also, unrelated, every time we walked through an intersection, she would yell at the cars to run her over. Every what? Intersection.
Oh.
What? He's like, that was just weird.
Oh, okay, I have a no. question.
When does it become acceptable to just leave? Speaking of, like, our last, you know,
yeah, just get up and
story.
Leave.
When does it become acceptable to just leave? Your
I think this is an acceptable spot.
Like, is this exactly. okay? Can you just leave?
Can
her?
You just leave? I don't. This is so random because, like, we do get a lot of stories where you're just like, oh my God, just fucking leave. But I don't know if it's social niceties. And it's yeah. good to see it's on the other side too with yeah. guys.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's like, they also don't feel comfortable with being and like, you know
in
what?
In fact, no. I bet they feel even less comfortable because, like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make sure a lady gets home safe. And, like, I understand all sure. of that stuff. But also, like, man, to put yourself through that shit. It's I guess at extra. This point, you just, if you drove, turn around and take her home and be like, sorry, this isn't going to work.
Right. Well, we have motorcycles, so.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have an extra helmet. So they finally get to the restaurant and they get seated and the waiter explains the concept of the restaurant. You get food for the table and everybody shares. So, like, the guy orders the pork sliders. She orders the steak, which is the most expensive item on the menu.
In her hoodie.
And she keeps telling me about Dancing with the Stars until the sliders come out. When they get there, she doesn't take one, so I decide I'll just wait until the steak comes out to eat so as not to be rude. This guy's, like, so nice.
No shit.
Have you met my friend Christina?
Right?
But she got really weird about me waiting for food and kept asking me to eat. I dismiss it as not a big deal and try to change the subject, but
now she wanted that
coming
steak to
back to it. Eventually, the waiter noticed she wasn't doing the whole sharing plates thing and asked him if I wanted to bump up the steak. And I'm like, yes. So once her steak comes out, she loudly exclaimed that she was definitely not sharing this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Which, so rude.
Which I knew she wasn't going to, but it still bothered me that she was so blunt about it.
Yes.
No shit.
We get the check and I paid. I expected to, so that was fine. My date didn't bother to pretend to want to split the check and or get the tip.
Oh.
And I always appreciate when people offer to split the check, yeah. even if they don't mean it. So at this point, the sun has gone down. It's getting cold. We're going to walk to buy dessert. I offer her my jacket because that's what you do, right?
Oh, my God. He's precious. My God.
The most precious. And she's like, no, but I want to go and find Dancing with the Stars guy.
Oh, my God. Leave her. We need to set like a societal norm that you can just leave somebody after a certain point.
Yeah.
Be like, you can Uber home. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Well, he didn't drive her there.
No, they drove separately and then met. Literally nopes out of this.
Yeah.
Immediately.
He's too nice. It's clear he's too nice for that.
Clear. Yeah. He's like the nicest.
Yeah.
So they're walking along the river and she starts telling me about her phone case. It is a custom made case with a picture of her and the Dancing with the Stars guy.
No
way.
Christina,
I just kept laughing. It's so fucking random.
I need you to send him a follow up email with which guy this was.
I know.
I need to know because I know all of the Dancing with the Stars dancers. Like, I know them.
This is fucking hilarious.
Like, not personally, but yes. I watch the show.
Who
makes
a fucking personal case?
Then
there's more.
She tells me she has a matching blanket at home.
Get out. Get the fuck out.
Oh. I can't even.
This is why you don't get a second date, you weirdo.
Yes.
You shouldn't even get a full first
also
date.
Also concerned about this Dancing with the Stars guy. I mean,
are you safe?
Yeah. Oh, my God. At this point, we've been on this date for about 5 hours, and I was ready to go home.
That's like a job.
I tell her I need to go, and she says she'll drop me off at my motorcycle. I say, no, it's okay, but she insists.
Oh, no.
Keep in mind, she's still wearing my riding jacket, and I'm getting the impression she won't give it back unless I ride with her.
Oh.
So I go with it. Besides, I parked quite a distance away, and I didn't feel like walking anyways.
I'm nervous about this girl
says,
run me over in the intersection now, to be driving.
Yeah, exactly. We get to her car, and she starts it. Then we just sit here.
No.
She starts nuzzling my neck and holding my upper arm.
No.
I do not reciprocate this affection because I don't feel the same way at all. And she picks up on that.
But then she buries her face in her hands, exclaiming, I shouldn't look at her because she's ugly.
Oh, my God. That's manipulative.
So I'm just like, you know what? It happens on both sides of the aisle. Oh. You know what I mean? Because we're like cringing because I'm like, I've been a girl in that situation where I felt pressured and uncomfortable. But it happens to guys, too. Oof. Oh, my God. So she starts rummaging around the back of her car and grabs a water bottle and sticks it in her mouth. She dead ass started throating a water bottle.
Why?
Body spray, which was really weird. She completes the trifecta of weird things to put in her mouth by putting her fist in her mouth.
Why? Okay, Cassie's gone.
What? I know. She's like... He's in a car and he's like, can I just get my jacket? I will nope out of here.
Truly, at that point, it becomes a thing where you just need to ask that, or you just need to be like, I have to go. Can you give me my jacket? I need to leave right now.
I know. Oh. It's so bad.
And okay, here's the thing. And I understand it's easier said than done as a people pleaser. I'm a people pleaser. I understand it's easier said than done, but like men and women alike. If you get into this position, don't get in the car with this person. Oh. Like, yeah, because it would have been a lot easier if you had noped out before you got in the car. Yeah. Now it's a million times harder.
This is what he says next. He says, at this point, I started realizing I was more or less trapped in a car with someone I've just met. Date rape isn't something guys have to worry about, but it dawned on me that I was in a very high risk situation.
Wow. Right. It might not be date rape necessarily, but you are in a car with somebody who clearly is unstable in some way.
Because if the tables were turned, I would be like, fuck, I am for sure not getting out of this.
Yeah. And it's always like, that's why I thought, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then it takes a turn. And I was like, wow, there are guys that have those feelings too, that get in the situations that are just like,
well, it's a Glenn Close situation here.
No shit.
You're a straight, crazy eyed situation.
Then she leaned in for a kiss, and I told her I was sorry, but I wasn't ready for that kind of affection as I had just gotten out of a really serious relationship.
Ooh, good one.
And
good
you just took your fucking fist out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Once everything is all said and done, we actually have been in her car for almost another 4 hours.
No.
And we still haven't moved.
Oh, no. My God. I thought you were going to say an hour.
Yeah.
Listen.
Four is...
I think you leave your jacket at that point. I mean, truly. Like...
Oh.
You buy
another one. Yeah.
After an hour.
Oh, you coyote ugly yourself out of this. You chew your arm off to get out of this situation.
He finally decides to fake falling asleep so he could play the I need to get home ASAP card. Finally, she drives me to my motorcycle and gives me my jacket back. At this point,
you're 10 hours deep into this shit.
I know. At this point, it's been like 8 hours since our date started, and it was 34 degrees Fahrenheit and raining. I've never ridden my bike so fast, and I was worried she would follow me home.
Oh my God. No.
Oh my God. Oh, shit. I feel so bad for him.
That is fucking crazy.
Oh man, this poor guy.
Yeah. But he made it out alive.
He did, but he was trying to be like so kind.
I know.
You know, like he was trying to be kind, and like that's what got him.
That's what got him into
that. Because that's usually what happens to women. We're so nice. We're afraid of coming off as being rude. So we'll just say yes, yes, yes to everything. And like that's where that whole like fuck politeness thing comes in.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for him in this situation. He really should have insisted on getting
He should have said fuck politeness and got out of there.
Because that's crazy.
Hours in a car.
Yeah, where she alternates between like crying about being ugly, trying to be physical with him, or deep throating random objects found in her car.
Torture. There's not a drink big enough in the world.
With a stranger.
Oh, no. No.
But also, it does make me wonder, like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Like, something's really wrong. Like,
yeah.
She needs to get help, because, wow.
The other thing, speaking of Reddit, that I found the other day is somebody did an AMA. It was a good friend of the 65,000 text chick.
No way.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No way.
I need to see that AMA.
Yeah. I'll send you guys the link to it. But yeah, she basically tells like the whole story. Like she's like a normal person that just stopped
taking medicine.
Her medication.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very clear. So we'll try and find this and post it somewhere. But like
AIDS. Jacqueline AIDS is her name.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big thing, a big part of what got us
to do crazy
starting
in love,
to talk about like doing crazy in love stories was this woman, because they did something very unusual, I thought, which was have a press conference with
her. Really fucking weird.
Which they shouldn't have done.
It was terrible. It was exploitative. It was fucking terrible.
While we were all very entertained watching this woman talk, it was so clear that something was so totally wrong with her.
Yeah. And exploitative is the exact word.
No one should have put a camera in her face because it was very clear that she was off her meds or something. And it turns out that that was the case. Okay. Oh, alrighty. Well, on that note.
On that note, sorry to bring it down. But the thing that made me like crazy too, I was just like, who goes on a date and is like, we need to find this Dancing with the Stars guy?
I mean, I'm not kidding, Christina. I need you to follow up with him on who that was.
I know, I will.
Please, because I need to know now. I need to know.
Oh my God.
Bananas.
But my friend asked me to look for him, and also I have him on my phone case and my blanket.
Oh. You know,
no, sir.
That's the scary thing about fame. Like, if I was that Dancing with the Stars guy, I'd be like,
freak the fuck out.
Super weird to think about, like, someone just being able to take your picture off the internet and
think
make a blanket
of the weird
out of
things
it.
That we get in our DMs anyways, and we're not famous.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, I can't even imagine what those people have to deal with.
Yeah.
Because they do have to have a public persona and be out there. Like, honestly, if it wasn't for the podcast, I probably would pull myself off of social media entirely.
Yeah.
So I just, there's enough like cons about it. But yeah, I can't even imagine what somebody with a little bit of fame, the kind of gross stuff that I get in my own inbox.
Yeah.
Let alone like.
Well, there used to be a show on MTV, speaking of like MTV shows, that was all about like being obsessed with a celebrity and like wanting to date.
Oh, that's right. I think it was just called Obsessed, wasn't it?
I don't know, but there was one I remember specifically that was like Ashanti. Like he fucking loved her. I was always looking for girls who looked like her to date, and like it was so strange. It was so
how
strange.
Would you like to be that girlfriend?
Right.
No.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Ugh.
Okay.
Gross.
All right. So this is also a Reddit story from a guy.
Yay.
And it says, it's our third date. She offered to make me dinner at her place. And okay, so three dates in, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you know someone well enough to be able to be like, that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Acceptable.
After dinner, we were talking and cuddling on the couch. We disagreed over something somewhat political. Then she started insulting and berating me. Never okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, no.
Never like, okay. As a person who politics matter to me a lot, I would never sink to that level with somebody. Like, you can have disagreements and just be like, you know what? I'm going to go. Like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
That's right. Fine.
Seeing eye to eye on politics, though, is very important.
It's important.
You know,
I wouldn't date someone like
talked.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I would not date someone on the opposite side of the political spectrum, but, you know, I would get up and leave if we couldn't have a respectful conversation about it.
Absolutely.
I eventually had enough and said, I am nowhere near emotionally invested enough in this relationship to fight this hard to make it work. And honestly, I don't have to take this from anyone.
Damn.
Good for you.
Right.
Good
That's
for you.
Amazing.
So I grabbed my coat, and then when I went to open her front door, she straight up punched me in the face.
Oh my God.
How did you get that worked up?
Punched
in the face.
In the face.
So yeah.
What the fuck?
Dude, use your words like a big girl.
Like
oh my God.
He's leaving.
Come on.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's enough dating for me for the year. And then he wrote an edit. Edit. Had a few people ask what the argument was, so I've copied to my other comment. I had mentioned how a few people have told me I kind of looked like Obama. She got unreasonably angry and said how much she hated him.
Oh,
who the
why
fuck
would you go out with him?
Well, and also,
and why would you go on a date with somebody who clearly it's not like you didn't see his picture? A third date.
You can hate someone's politics, right?
Yeah.
But you cannot objectively tell me that Obama is not a good looking man.
Yeah, he's good looking.
Hella good looking.
He's a good looking man. So
him and Michelle. I ship both of them.
Power couple.
So
hard. But I mean, Obama, like, he's hot. He's like the hottest president we've had in very long time.
A very long time ever.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe ever.
Yeah, I never thought JFK was hot.
Oh, that's true. There you go.
Big teeth.
Yeah. Weird accent.
Weird.
I like the Boston accent. I can't even talk. I like that. I like that New England Boston.
That I like it.
I do. I'm here for it.
So yeah, she got unreasonably angry and said how much she hated him. Her reaction threw me off, so I decided to steer the conversation away from politics. She was too riled up by that point and said,
no.
I have a lot to learn and don't know anything about life. Is there anything more condescending?
No.
The most condescending.
Wow.
She's a bit older than me. Yeah, I bet. Because only people who are a bit older than you say that shit to you.
Oh, right. Totally.
Like, that's fucked up. And this was the third time in three dates she had said something like that to me. I had already told her, dude, I mean, I don't know if she had said it and then like let it go and he had like mentioned something to her. Okay. But like,
yeah,
if you're averaging one a date at this point, her saying something that fucking condescending to you.
Super condescending.
Someone posted something yesterday and I commented, I was like, ugh, I totally needed to hear that right now. It was like one of those like quote things. And it was like, the thing that bothers you or is a little bit of a red flag right now is what will lead to your breakup eventually. Yeah. So like,
totally.
Yeah. That made me think, I was like, I totally need to, because I have a tendency to be like, meh, like, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Or maybe you can
get used to it. Or maybe I'm misinterpreting or blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, no. Yeah, no. If I don't like that way that you're careless with your glass or that you act like a rich stuck up prick, like most likely that's going to be the thing that breaks us up eventually.
Yeah, totally. So. Yeah. Cause it's going to be something that was bothersome now in the early start of your relationship, but in the end of the relationship, it's going to be like, fuck you.
It's intolerable. And here's the thing. The older we get, it's like who we are doesn't really change.
No, I mean, can grow and learn. Of course you can.
But you're who you are.
You're a little hardwired in at some point. I mean, I would like to think that I will continue growing and changing as a person and evolving and maturing, hopefully. But also,
we all will.
I think I will be because I'm introspective enough to know that that's something
but
I
you
want.
You cannot count on other your, people, to
other
be people
that way.
Doing
that. Because
a lot
of
like,
people
well,
are
I don't
not
like that
way.
Now, but maybe I can grow or change you or whatever. You will. Nope, you cannot count on that.
If they're not introspective enough to look into themselves and like want to make changes, it's not going to happen ever.
Amen.
And he does say, I had already told her once that it's extraordinarily rude to say shit like that to someone. So I said it again, only this time I added, I don't have to take this from you or anyone for that matter.
No.
Yep, good for you. Then I put my jacket on and was halfway to the door and wham.
Oh my God.
Which also, you're so fucking mature that you...
That you fucking punch someone in the face?
You resorted to fisticuffs?
Yeah.
What a fucking...
Over something like this? Are you kidding me?
What a bitch.
He says, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I don't see how anything I said warrants that kind of behavior. It does not.
Because if the shoe was on the other foot...
Oh God, you'd be in handcuffs.
Fucking 100%.
And she should be in handcuffs.
She should be.
You can't just be assault. Fucking punching
it is
people.
Assault. Like, that is fucking.
Oh my God, we are like laying it down.
I know, we're here for the men. Yeah, we are.
But you know what? It is both sided. It really is. Both-sided. You can't say with one hand. It is not one sided. You can't. I always said this, you know, with my son, it's the same thing. You know, we give a lot of, you know, like I said, if this was a woman who had been punched in the face by a guy,
which
Jesus,
let's be clear, rightly so, because it happens more often to women. Okay. Domestic violence is definitely an issue that disproportionately affects women. However,
but men
we don't feel it's okay to talk about it. We don't
one.
Talk about it
and
enough.
Two, it's like becomes like a joke. So they don't feel like
sexual assault against men, physical assault against men. These are issues that happen. We don't talk about them. We don't
allow. And we got to support the people who are coming out about it, like Terry Crews and how he's gotten some major fucking flack.
Yeah.
We need to be supporting those people as hard and as, you know, viscerally as we are women that this happens
to. Absolutely. Well, I mean, it goes hand in hand.
I do too.
It goes hand in hand with talking about the Gillette ad that we talked about.
Oh, I know.
You know, we can only dismantle this idea of toxic masculinity, you know, by talking about issues like this.
Absolutely.
So, he says, I think her anger might not have been so much about politics. She might just hate Obama because her ex-husband also kind of looks like him, too.
Oh,
oh my God.
Girl has a type.
I'm like,
girl
bitch, this is on you then.
Yeah, bitch, dude, you hate yourself.
But here's
the
thing.
Wants to hate fuck Obama.
I'm like, I still end up like going out on dates with like musicians with no jobs.
Oh.
But
I mean, you gotta type.
You gotta type.
I love you very much, Christina. But I will tell you, that's on you.
That is on me. That is on me. It is. Exactly.
You know what's bad for you. I'm
sipping my white claw.
And same for this girl. I'm like, listen.
I'm like, if you don't like Obama, like, you know, you don't like Obama. Well, then don't date Obama.
There's something about her that obviously does like him physically.
Correct.
She just doesn't like his policy. So she's like, hate fucking this guy who like looks like Obama. But then she's like looking at him and being like, your foreign policy, though,
yeah,
you know, was so shitty.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
It's bananas.
That is insane. Like, you can't. Yeah. It's insane. Okay. Anyway.
I think there is. And actually, this leads into the story I want to talk about tonight for Crazy in Love, which is that, like, we do a lot of victim shaming. And yep. I think that there's a lot of that happening right now. And the case, and for a long time, and I was actually having a conversation with my husband earlier today, because when I told him the story I was going to do, it's shocking to me that we do that. Like, what is it in our culture that feels as though we have to victim blame people?
Well, I think it's beyond just our culture. I think a lot of victim blaming comes from a place of, you want to feel like it can never happen to you. You want to make
you
yourself
want an excuse.
Feel,
so if it's like if it's just fucking fault, random, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's more terrifying than like you, whatever you did, you caused this.
Yeah, because totally. That's why we victim blame rape victims. That's, because we can say, well, I don't go out late at night, or I don't wear short skirts, or I don't get too drunk, so I won't.
That won't happen to me.
Correct.
It makes us feel safer. But it's not true. Like, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as the perfect victim. It doesn't exist.
No, correct. It's crazy. Which, the crazy in love I'm going to do today is actually Jamie Kloss.
Yes.
My God.
Because I think, super fucking topical.
Yes.
It's definitely a crazy in love.
Yes.
It is, or crazy and obsessed, or however you want to say it.
Correct.
But I also think it's topical enough that I know that all three of us have a lot. We've all been following this story.
Right.
And we all have some input on it. And I think it's a great topic of discussion.
Yeah.
And it's not a super long one, because what we know at this point is actually shockingly interesting. There's a lot actually already that's come out. I recently read, I've read multiple articles online, but also to People Magazine did a story on it. It's very interesting. It's, all starts.
And it's because, like, you hit the nail on the head. The speculations that happened right after she was found.
Blaming that happened to her.
The biggest thing. And I have to admit that I had it too. I was like, what happened?
Well, I think that's also coming from
not a blaming thing, where I was just like, he had to have found her some way. Was she messaging him online? Was she?
I wasn't even going to say that.
I've heard a lot of that.
I was going to say that the fact that she was gone and both her parents were dead, a lot of that was like, what did she do?
Team up with your boyfriend? Oh, or even that.
I think that there's a lot of that because we are such a true crime obsessed culture.
Totally.
Right. That we watch every episode of Dateline and every episode of Snapped. And
that's what makes sense.
What was the story you told about the Canadian?
The Canadian chick, who basically, her boyfriend. I mean, I think it's the same age gap, 13 and 21.
At 12. Yeah, she met a guy online at 12. That one was 12 and 23, but similar.
And there was the Asian girl who had killed both of her parents.
Jennifer Pan?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen. So, I see why people maybe, but it's like, before you go crazy on your speculations, let's get some facts first.
Especially because
it's a 13-year-old girl who just 13-year-old girl,
exactly, who went through hell. And that hell started on October 15th of last year when somebody breaks into their home, kills her father and her mother, and she is kidnapped. And this all kind of came to a head recently because on January 10th, this woman, Jeannie Nutter, is out walking her dog, Golden Retriever, out in, a neighborhood. And this girl came up to her and she's like, I recognize her immediately. She's like, I recognize her because her picture's been everywhere. And the girl says, I'm Jamie, and is like, I need help. And they go knocking on doors and finally get to this house where they call the police.
And this woman was like a social worker too.
Yes.
Right? So she had the training to know what to do.
I've read interviews with her with what God was bless. Going through her, because her house was actually, because she said she came from, she pointed out the house that she came from, and Jeannie's house was she felt too close to that and she wanted to go. And that's why she didn't take
back
her
into the neighborhood.
That's why she didn't take her to her own house to call the cops. She went further away
to
find a neighbor so that she would feel safe and around like
God bless this woman.
Amazing.
For real. I mean, God bless this girl for getting out of the situation.
Well, even the like murder or whatever, like the Jamie's dog was barking.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Jamie gets woken up by her dog, looks out her window, sees a car is pulling up, goes to wake up her parents to let them know. He shot her dad through the front door. Mm-hmm. Then found her and her mom huddled together. Her mom was bear hugging her in a bathtub, shot her mom in the head and took Jamie.
That's
going to make
How did
cry.
They meet? How Ooh. Did they find each other? I was shocked by this because I think a lot of people, again, were this speculation where you're like looking at like, well, did
online,
they know each other online?
On Facebook. No. On blah, blah, blah.
He literally was just following behind her in a school bus one day and saw her get on the bus and fixated on her from that fucking moment.
Wow.
Is that so the fucking gross. Most bananas thing?
And that's why people want an easier explanation than that. Because
I know.
That, you cannot protect yourself from that.
That's
you
right.
cannot
yeah.
protect
it's
yourself from that
to
at
say,
all.
What did she do? Did she go online? Correct. How can yeah. I protect my children by like putting on, you know, blockers on the internet?
Yeah.
Can I protect my kids this way? You can't protect your kids from
being seen
but
getting
being
on a school bus.
Public.
However, yeah. when the story goes on and... rest in peace, like her parents did not prepare her for a situation like this, but it's obvious that they gave her the tools that she needed to survive something like this
yes.
and come out from the other side. So well done
yeah.
to those parents that raised a very strong, level-headed little girl that was able to
yeah.
survive something like this.
Well, and they said that she
can't prepare for it,
you
but
can't.
You can teach your kid to survive and
yeah.
fight back.
And that's kind of one of the things that I read too in some of the articles was like, you know, Jamie was described as very, like, very quiet, just like her mom, a little laid back, very quiet, but also a total badass. And that is the wording that was used. And I'm like, that's
awesome.
Amazing. That is awesome. I can't even imagine. And so he kept her in their house under his twin bed mattress and barricaded her under the bed with barbells and... like gym equipment.
Did he
basically.
Have any? I know in the beginning there was speculation that he was related to her in some way. Is that not the case?
No, he ended up. He worked. So. He worked at the plant where her parents worked.
Okay,
but they never.
Really?
They never interacted.
Oh, okay. Oh.
He was
that was
there
just,
for such a brief time. It was just coincidence. It's a small town.
Very small.
You know,
I
so
see.
The
35,000 people
yeah.
or 3,500 people live
yeah.
in this town. It's
tiny
small.
Town.
So
I'm
yeah,
from
but
a town
it
of
literally,
3,000, so.
Literally is the most random thing. Like they said, they're like. They're not connected at all. He literally just
he
saw
just
her getting.
He just.
Can you imagine us. Though? Like that's the thing. He sees her literally getting on a bus, and is like, "That she's going to be mine." Like that's just it's fixated in his brain. Like that to me is like it's. I mean, obviously, this guy has got major mental issues. But the thing
well,
that is just
like
so shocking about the story and the reason mm-hmm. that I wanted to bring it up is because I just do think it's a very important topic that we talk about, you know, victim shaming, things like this. Like you said, you cannot prepare yourself for it because there's I mean, how in the world do you prepare yourself for something so random? So
no, but you can empower yourself to know that you're strong and to know that you're capable and that you can survive. So this chick, you know, for months had to live under a twin bed, but as soon as an opportunity came for her to escape, even months in which, you know, Stockholm yeah. syndrome starts
sure.
to set in, like all that stuff, she still had a fighter mentality.
She had the wherewithal to get herself
yes.
out. Yes. And
thank God.
Yeah.
Weren't there other people in the house?
That is something I didn't find in the articles, but I did hear.
That's what I'd heard, is that like he wasn't living in that house by himself.
Like,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
like,
there were.
His family was there too. Like his parents
that's
were there.
That's what I had heard too.
Yeah.
And that's also what I was thinking as well. And they don't bring any of that up in the few articles that I was reading about it, but I also did hear that. So I can't
wow.
even this
poor
fucking
girl,
imagine.
This poor girl, like... Oh, it makes me want to cry right now just thinking about like your last memory of your mom.
Oh,
like being like
you
holding
are being
on
held.
To her. you know,
in her arms, and she is shot in the head. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. And thankfully she's had like an enormous outpour of support. Thank God. I mean, she's living now with her mother's sister. So her aunts, and they
never stopped looking for her, too. She was like that she's alive, and kudos to that town. That whole town treated it a whole time like a missing person. They did not treat it like a homicide. They legit kept looking for her.
Yes.
But if she hadn't had the bravery to do what she did, they would never have found her.
Never. Who knows how this could have ended otherwise.
This kind of random thing like is not something that people, like, how do you find that? You can't find it or track it.
Right. I mean, well, look at J.C. Dugard.
Yeah.
You know, where she was gone for 20 years. And like not saying anything about like she did what she needed to do
or
to
Elizabeth
survive.
Smart.
Like, or Elizabeth Smart. Yeah. You know, like.
Or those girls in Cleveland.
All of these girls do what they need to do to survive.
Yeah.
But it could go such a different like number of ways.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
I mean, absolutely. There's exactly that. It's a million ways that this outcome could have changed and who knows.
Right.
And one of the girls, that's what they were saying, you know, like she seems to be thankfully doing very well, but there's a, you know, it takes a long time and you could still be in shock honestly for a month before it really hits you, like, because you're in such a survivor mode,
right?
And in, you know, like the PTSD of that, like you would
survivor's guilt, even knowing it's not your fault but still thinking like if it weren't for me my parents wouldn't have died, you know, like all of I don't know that you ever recover from that, like I don't know that you ever, like,
it's tough.
Yeah.
Get over
you know,
that.
And her aunt has said that, you know, obviously there's therapy and things like that. And they are doing the right things to help her. And that is God. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God that they have, you know, this. She has a support system that, you know,
and it's not just her family, but there are a lot of people that have donated like to help in ways that they can. So she does have a support system, luckily, in place, because this case did, like, I mean, it was everywhere, and you hit the nail on the head where, like, everyone was speculating. It's like, oh, okay, like, 13-year-old girl's missing,
her
but
parents
her two parents
are dead.
Like,
was she involved?
Exactly. So it did snowball in that way because people were looking for the salacious angle.
Right. Yeah. And the thing that would make them the most safe. Well, like, I wouldn't raise my kid like that. My kid would never do this or that. And it's like, she did nothing.
No,
there was
she
nothing
was
you
definitely,
could have done.
You know, now, like 100% that she was raised right.
And even if she was talking to a guy on the internet,
she still
doesn't deserve that.
Yeah. No,
doesn't matter.
And there we go again. Yeah, absolutely. Because that also is victim blaming in a certain sense that, you know, that, oh, because you were talking to some guy on the internet, you deserve to be fucking kidnapped. But you're right.
She's
as close to
the perfect victim, quote unquote, as we're going to get. Like, she literally did nothing to deserve this.
Zero.
But even if she had,
like
by other people's standards, done something, nothing justifies what this person did to her and her family. Like, nothing does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, people coming together, though, in, you know, locally and just doing so much. Local music star Chris Crozet. He dedicated his November 19th performance on NBC's The Voice to Jamie and performed at the school's vigil. Where they raised more than $50,000 to help her rebuild her life.
Wow.
So even at that point where they're like, she's still alive, because that's November, they're like, she's still alive, and this $50,000 is going to go toward helping her rebuild herself.
Somebody said, like, because Jamie rescued herself, like, they were like, so should she get the $50,000 reward for, like, and the, that's all it said was, like, somebody, like, posted that meme and was
got
like,
got herself out of it.
Yeah,
yes.
She did. She deserves
she
that
did.
Fucking
and
money.
Fuck yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And how scary. I can't think of, not that, like, I want to necessarily put this out into the universe as, like, one of my greatest fears, but one of my greatest fears is like, being taken and, like, locked away somewhere.
Sure.
And, like, I cannot imagine what it would take to get yourself out of that situation, because you'd be so fucking scared.
Yeah.
And you would know that if it failed, things are going to get a lot worse for you.
Yeah.
You know? So, God, so brave. So brave. At 13, fucking no way. There's no way I could have gotten myself out of that situation at 13.
Yeah. No. You know? The people pleaser.
I don't know. I was a pretty badass at 13. I probably.
You're a fighter.
Yeah. I am a fighter.
You are a fighter.
And
I'm a people pleaser. Where I just be like, if I stay quiet, like,
I've never been in a situation. There are different tactics
to survive. Sure. You know, there are different tactics to survive. There's the J.C. Dugard way of surviving, which is just like go along to get along until you can like
make your great escape.
You know, and that took 20 years.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
I know it wasn't a long one, and I know it's kind of a short crazy in love, but I just wanted it to be very relevant. To me, it was like more of this was like a more conversational, like than just me telling you a story about what happened. But I just think it's so interesting to kind of share that like conversation, because it is a conversation, and we do need to talk more about victim blaming, what that looks like, what is happening
for men as well.
And very topical that we talked about those stories in the beginning of the, you know, and are those submissions that we had today. So yeah, short but sweet. Yay. but interesting, very very interesting.
And then
what we know so far is really really really
there will be information coming out for, you know, a while now, so we can continue to keep you guys updated on stuff that we learn, if it's relevant or interesting.
And as of right now, there the charges that he's being charged with are obviously two murders, kidnapping, but there are no sexual assaults on this yet. So, and as of right now, there isn't any indication. There haven't been he hasn't been charged with the sexual assault yet.
But they've also really not.
They don't know.
They've given Jamie like space and time to heal and everything like that. So, you know, my fucking hope is like it was bad enough what she had to go through, that I hope that that's not something else on top of it.
Me too.
But wow.
Wow. Yeah.
They have asked him for DNA tests as well, though. So the police are investigating. So I don't know what they may have.
Poor baby.
That's just where it is. I know. Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. And again, I know it's just so topical right now that the story
Totally glad you did it. Yeah. It's a good thing to be talking about.
We want to do a little palate cleanser.
Let's do a little palate cleanser.
We were talking about the difference between White Claws, Henry's, Tito's, or not Tito's, Truly's.
Yeah, which are all sparkling hard ciders, seltzers. Wow.
We've had quite a few since we started.
And not enough lunch.
But I feel like this is a good like public service announcement, and we're all on the same page. If we had to fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, good one.
Okay.
I like this.
That's good.
Henry's. And Truly's, we're all on the same page.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to marry White Claw.
We're marrying White Claw.
Yeah.
Because they are they're perfect.
They're good.
They got everything I need.
Great amount of flavor. Mm-hmm. Nice little buzz kicks in.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're going to fuck Truly's.
Truly's are the unassuming, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're like,
it's going to be a boring fuck.
It is.
Well, it is. But it's going to be sweet. You know what I mean? It's like, that's soft. Not sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's a gentle make love.
I hate the term make love. Okay, this is making it sound very bad. Truly's are not bad. Truly's are good.
They're good for one night.
Yeah, it's like if you had to.
They don't have enough bang for your buck. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, they're just kind of a little bland.
They're nice.
It's fine. It's nice.
If you need some companionship, you go for a Truly, right? If you want to go through life with somebody, you go with a White Claw.
White Claw, that's steady.
That's a steady relation. Henry's.
We're gonna have to kill it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to kill it.
It's the aftertaste, and you know what it is to me too that I've kind of noticed on the ones I've tried. It's that it's got this weird aftertaste, but it kind of doesn't taste fruity as much as it tastes chemically sweetened.
Yes, or like, and it's very tart, and I'm for a tart, but it's like a chemical tart. It's not like a fresh squeezed lemon.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, again, in a pinch, I will drink a Henry.
I mean, it's all we got.
I will drink.
I'll suck it down.
But this is your guide to hard seltzer from My Worst Day. From us at My Worst Day.
Yeah, we'll use that as a palate cleanser. So there you go.
We'll leave you with a literal palate cleanser.
If you want to contribute to our White Claw Fund, though, please check out our Patreon page. We would love that. We've actually just uploaded a couple great... we had a great interview with Hyperbole. I was in Arizona, and it was a fun... He shares... his worst date on our, it is fucking hilarious. It's a good one, you guys. So check that out for sure. We appreciate you guys so much hanging out with us. Please share it with your friends. Thank you, everyone.
And yeah, we'll see you next.
You can get us if you need to send us
if you need
to send us your worst date stories, or if you even have like crazy in love suggestions, you just want to reach out and chat, that's also fine. You can email us directly at myworstdatepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find everything you need, which means our Patreon, links to our show, which is coming up very soon, or a contact page. You can find all of that on our website, which is myworstdatepodcast.com.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers.
This is a Glass Box Media podcast.